all of that. They will be very cute, pretty, handsome, however you want to say it. They'll be attractive looking. So that is about all I've got. I do really want to encourage everybody to come tonight and support these teenagers. That is a big deal for teenagers to come and conduct the entire part of the service. And that is something that anybody that is trying to grow something, you always want somebody, the next generation, to take your place. And so if the Lord tarries, that's exactly what our hope and prayer is here. And that's why we're doing this evening service. The kids are going to conduct the entire praise and worship by themselves. Every part of it, take up the testimonies, the offering, and they're going to minister out of the Word of God, and I'm very excited about it. How many of y'all are excited about that? I'm very, very excited. I'm going to ask you guys to do what we do every single Sunday morning, and that is to stand to your feet. If God has given you the strength in your body to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Thank you, thank you. May this never just be a habit for you or a routine. You need to be seeing what you're doing. And what you're doing right now is you are standing. See, when the Word of God says, when you've done everything that you can do, then stand. And see, God is having you on your feet this morning because there was not a demon in hell that could make you quit this week. There wasn't a demon in hell this week that could just put you on your back. See, God's got you up and He's got you on your feet, and we thank Him for it right now. If there's some things in your life and you say, God, I need you to meet me right in this area, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I believe God is walking down the aisles of this place right in here this morning, and He's ministering to every troubled heart. If you need to be free of any type of addiction, I'm going to ask you to begin to call those things out to God. If you need a healing in your body, see, the Word says that by His stripes we are healed. I'm going to ask you to begin to call those needs out to Him. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You that the Word goes forth this morning. And God, it falls on good ground. Lord, it falls on ground that is ready to receive the Word that You have. I speak to addiction in this place right now, and I bind it up. God, You said in Your Word that You needed a binder and that You needed a looser. So right now, I bind up that spirit of addiction, Lord, and I loose peace right now into every heart. God, healing, Lord, prosperity, God, in every area that we are in lack. God, I thank You that we have more than enough, God, to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I always feel the need to give a little disclosure to anyone who's never been to a service of mine live. I was born and raised in Arkansas. I've been in the ministry my entire life. I'm a hick, and I'm just a very tell it like it is. If you are a teenager in the service right now and you're going to need to go to the bathroom in the next 50 minutes, I want you to go and go to the bathroom now. Why? Well, it's not because I want to control everybody's bathroom, but what I do want to control is distractions. Distractions. If you did not come here to receive the Word of God, you came here for the wrong reason. I'm going to say that one more time because, see, this is not a spectator sport. This is a place where people come to hear and receive the Word of God. If you did not come to receive the Word of God, you are in the wrong place. Amen. Amen. If you came here just to observe, I welcome you to do that. Amen. I want to minister to you this morning on faith. Faith. Go with me now to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 13. And someone that I dearly love, she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but her name was Miss Virginia Williams. How many of y'all remember Miss Virginia? One of the things that she had a great anointing on her life for was to minister the Word in such a way that you felt like you were living in that message. And I love that about her, and I want to encourage you today. We are going to read an account. You know, Bibles, they're not Bible stories, but they're actual written, documented accounts that have taken place in the history of the living Word. How many of you know that the Word of God is living? and it's active. David said in the Psalm, Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. If you will get the word and you will plant it in your life and in your heart when trouble times come, the word of God, because it's living and because it's active, that word will go forth into the areas of your life that you need it to go through. When there's a healing that needs to take place and you know the word of God and what it says about your healing and your health, that part of the word will go forth and it'll say, you know what? I'm healed in the name of Jesus. The word of God says that by his stripes I am healed. I claim healing right now in Jesus' name. The word cannot do that if you don't know it. You've got to know it. I also want to say, just because you sit in service with us today, that does not guarantee you a spot in heaven. Thank you, Brother Larry. I got one amen. I'll take it. Just because you go and you sit in a church, and if you shake my pretty hand, that doesn't make you go into church. The word says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Work out your own salvation and do that with fear and with trembling. Amen. The title of this message this morning is Even If Faith. There's a type of faith that we need to have, and it's even if. God, even if this don't happen, even if this, and even if that, God, I'm going to serve you. God, you've been so faithful to me. Even if, whatever the circumstance may be, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not going to get mad at you. You know, the world is too involved in all of their feelings. The world, and sadly enough, believers are so wrapped up in all their feelings. And I want to tell you this right here, and from the pulpit down, the pastor is never responsible for the goosebumps that wants to crawl up your neck. It's not my job to make you feel something. If you don't come in here with the ability to say, you know what, God, I'm going to lay everything down. Lord, I got a million and one problems, but God, right now, I'm not concerned about one of them. Lord, I'm here to praise you. See, I'm not responsible for if you can feel God or not. Amen? I am responsible for feeding you the word, but it is your job to come with a fork and a knife and a willing heart to receive the word of God. Every person can be wrapped up in their feelings, and if you're that type of person, I want you to step out of your feelings, because feelings are not facts. Feelings will get you in trouble. The world is full right now of believers. They are backslidden. They are out of church. They are wishy-washy. They are this and they are that. But if you come into Parish Christian Center, you probably will be either glad you're here or very uncomfortable when you are here. Because I have a job and a calling to do. And I will put it out there to where when you leave, you won't be guessing what I meant. Now, you may not like it, but you'll know. You'll know what the message was about. Even if faith, that's what we're talking about this morning. So I'm going to tell you about three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What I want you to do is, as we begin to read, see, it's never about how much of the Bible that you read. You could read maybe a half of it in a day, but if you don't understand it, it's not going to do you any good. It won't do you a lick of good. But if you can read it, if you can, before you read, say, Father God, I ask that you would open up my understanding, that I could hear your word, that I could read your word, and that I can receive your word. God, right now, open up this heart. Help me to understand what you would have for my life today as I read. When you can hang on every word, every word. This morning, let's go, and I want to invite you to get into this account. When we talk about these three men, I want you to act like you're there with them. Don't worry about that piece of paper. That's just a distraction. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to set the scene here. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a 90-foot high and a 90-foot wide, basically a god that he had designed, and he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship this god whenever he said so. There were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They loved the Lord. They loved him with everything that they had. They would not bow down. And because of that, there was a consequence that was going to be had. Let me tell you something. There are going to be times in your life where God is requiring you. See, he wants it all the time. But there's going to be game-changing moments in your life where if you're not walking in the spirit of excellence, you're going to miss a blessing. Sometimes the blessing is living one more day. And that was the case here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a conversation with the king. And in verse 13, here's where it starts. Furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good." So he's telling them once again, he's giving them one more opportunity to do what he said. "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." The world is too full of Christians that constantly feel the need to defend themselves all the time. The world is too full of Christians that feel the need to constantly defend themselves all the time. I want to say this, and I'm giving you a life tip. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be a person that you're going to jive and jive with. How many of you have ever had that coworker that you could not stand? Me too. If your hand's down, you probably are the coworker. There we go. 10 minutes, I've probably already offended half of the crowd. Good. We can get it out of the way. We all have some issues, and sometimes we ain't going to jive and jive with everybody. When you can get to a place in your life when you can say, "You know what? I've heard what you've said. I'm not even going to defend myself." You know why? Because, see, you have a living God that will defend you 7 days a week. And the devil would love to get your wheels a-turning and your juices a-going and your temper high to defend yourself. There are some things you need to let God defend you. Because, see, there's nothing you could say that will make that person change their mind about you. But God can. But God can. And it says, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you." You're going to always have critics. You're going to always have naysayers. You're going to always have people observing you and that are not going to agree with everything that you're doing. If that bothers you, get over it. Not everybody can agree with you. Don't let it bother you. And if it does, you're going to have to tell yourself, "I'm going to have to get over this because I don't agree with everybody about what they do." Right? Okay. Verse 17, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able." Y'all say with me now, God is able. Amen. Yes, he is. We got to get that deep down inside us. The God that we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. I want to tell you this morning that God is the same yesterday, today and forevermore. He has not changed His mind about you. He has not changed His reason why He put you here on this earth. Your purpose and your calling has not changed. It comes without repentance. God is not sorry that He put that call of God on your life. He's waiting. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." See, God's not going anywhere. He's waiting for you to come to Him. We got lots of doors in our lives, and you know what? The ones that have hurt us the most are the ones that we want to keep closed. God is standing at those doors, and He's knocking. Will you let me come in and heal those? Will you let me come in and help you with those things that have bothered you? See, God is waiting. He is waiting for people to give Him an opportunity, to give Him a chance. God is able. It's never a question of is this He's able. If you are believing God for something, I want you to know that He's able. He is not short on miracles. He is not short on healing. He is not short on finances. He is not short on anything. Sometimes our faith is lacking. Sometimes my faith is lacking. Amen? So God is always able. Verse 18, but even if, y'all say with me, even if, but even if He does not, here's that, even if faith, let me tell you something, you're not going to condition God and you're not going to limit God. Now what that means is this right here, God, I'll give You my life. And I'll follow You all the days of my life if You'll get my dumb grown-up kid to serve You and to quit being a heathen. See, that ain't, those type of prayers, they ain't working. Because, see, that's a condition. How does Jesus love us unconditionally? See, if you're going to condition God, those conditions, those don't work. They just don't work. Because, see, whatever God has ordained in your life, that's a done deal. Even if He does not. See, they're saying, you know what? You're saying You're going to kill us. And we want You to know that our God's able to save us. But we also want You to know this right here. Even if He doesn't save us, we're still not going to do what You said. Why? Because what You're telling us to do is wrong. So we want You to know, O King, that we will not serve Your gods or worship the image of gold that You have set up. See, what kind of gods are we all serving today? There's the living God, but see, a lot of people, they have a lot of gods and a lot of idols in their life. A lot of people and a lot of us and a lot of everybody, they have a lot of gods and they have a lot of idols in their life. We would all do good if we could identify what those are, because let me tell you something, there are so many things that want to come up and exalt themselves among and above the living God. But see, the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then and only then will He do what you need Him to do, and then all these things shall be added. See, people want to have the things added, then they want to serve God. That's not how it works. There's an order. There's an order. What do you want people to know? See, they said, we want You to know. We want You to know. See, here we are. We're about to die, and we're at peace with that. But we want You to know our God's able, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to do what You've asked. And we want You to know that. What do you want people to know when you're going through the worst of the worst, when you're really struggling, when you're going through a battle, when you're hurting, when you feel like there's failure knocking at your door? See, what are you wanting people to know? What's important to you? Here's some things out of my own personal life. Look here, when the going got tough and the tough got going, Miss Mitzi, you know what I wanted people to know? That I would serve God come hell or high water. come hell or high water. I've been called everything but a white woman since I became a pastor. Yeah, I said it. You ever want to be called an awful person, just become a pastor and people will really start criticizing. Guess what? Paul, I've gotten a lot thicker skin. Because let me tell you something. Here's what I know. God will defend me and He will back me, so long as I walk in that calling according to His will and His purpose. And God will back you. God will back you. But you know what? You need to place it in your heart. What do I want people to know as they're watching me and as they're watching the storm that I'm going through? What is important that I tell people? See, they had an audience that day. And everybody was waiting to see if they'd fold. See, he who tries to save their own life will lose it. But he that gives it away, who are we giving it to? God. They didn't care if they died doing what God had them to do. They believed He had the power to help them. But they had placed it in their heart that even if He didn't, they still weren't going to do that. You know what that's called? Integrity. Amen. What is integrity? Doing the right thing when nobody's watching and doing the right thing when everybody's watching. That's integrity. That's integrity. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. Look here. Here we go. Back on the not everybody's going to go for you soapbox. That ticked him off. He was furious. Nebuchadnezzar was furious when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. See, he was already mad that they weren't worshiping his idol and his God. But then his attitude towards them got worse when they didn't change their mind. And he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Look here. Sometimes life seems like it's getting 7 times hotter the more you go. Look here. That is not a time to turn your back on God. When everything seems like it's going wrong, that is not the time to take a vacation from being a child of God. Do we know how many people have gone to the doctor? They've been told a fatal diagnosis and they have gotten in a backslidden state because they are mad at God. Watch yourself. Do not let yourself go there. If the devil can help you get mad at God, he will help you get mad at God. How can I preach about these things? Well, my own mother was diagnosed with cancer. Mama, did you get mad at God about that? Did you know that God was able? Guess what? God showed up. But let me tell you something, Daddy. Even if He wouldn't have, would we have still been having church? Yes, we would have. Would our family have still gone on to love God and to be in the ministry and to serve people? Yes, we would. Why? Because, see, that's an even if faith. God wants to know from you today, will you do what I've called you to do even if everything doesn't go the way you want it to go in your life? That's the question that's being asked today. Even if. So that king, he got mad. He's like, everybody, get that furnace. We want it 7 times hotter because these three over here, I'm going to teach them a lesson. Look here, you're going to have lots of people that want to teach you a lesson when they find out you're not going to do what you want them to do. Amen. People are going to snub you. They're going to treat you bad. They may teach you out of something. But look here, you need to have that even if faith. Because there's times, we see it right here in Nebuchadnezzar, there are times where people are willing to hurt you so much more than you want to hurt them. There's something called a standard, and it's found in the Word of God, that God will raise up a standard. The enemy will not be able to cross it. But you've got to find that in the Word of God for yourself. And that faith has got to increase. So when the next time you have a real doozy of a battle come up in your life, you're not sitting there backslidden and mad at God. You're still in God's house, and you're serving and you're praising God. Amen? And he ordered the furnace 7 times hotter than normal, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing these robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, they had lots of clothes on basically, they ordered them to be thrown into the furnace, and the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men were firmly tied, and they fell into the blazing furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. When people see what God is willing to do for you when you're in the fiery trial, you should have a knowledge that, you know what? When people see what God is going to do for me, they are going to leap to their feet in absolute amazement. That is just how faithful that my God is. See, do you have that this morning? Do you have that thing inside of you that says, you know what, God, even if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, I'm still going to praise you? Because let me tell you something. If you have that kind of faith, you got that audience, and what's going to happen is people are going to be shocked at the measures that God did and the things that he did, the mountains that he moved just for you. Just for you. God is not a respecter of anybody. He doesn't sit there and say, what I'll do for Rocky, I will not do for France. See, no, that's not how God is. And that's not how he operates. Even if faith, we need to have everyone leaping in amazement at the glory of God when he shows up in our life. These things may not happen on your time schedule, but God is never late. He is just on time. He's right on time. Don't walk in doubt. When your faith wants to sit there and waver, you look back at your life, and the only time I tell people to look back is when you're recalling and you're counting every time in the past in your life that he showed up, because what you're going to find is that he's always showed up on time. He's always been faithful. He's not going to let you down. And you can trust God. You can trust him. He's not going to let you down. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire. And then he gave some adjectives. Casey, aren't you proud of me? Casey's a teacher. She's my sister. I was never good at school. She was great at school. Not only were there 4 people in that fire, in the beginning, they only threw in 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's the king, and he leaps on his feet in amazement. And he looks to all of his folks, and he said, there was only 3, right? Well, yeah, there was, king. I see 4 men walking around. See, they were no longer tied. Amen. See, the thing that the devil wanted to do to you, he's not going to be able to. Amen. Hallelujah. And you've got to know that. The devil intended harm, but the very thing that the devil intended harm for your life, God will use that as a platform to build you up and to give you your ministry. You're all ministering, by the way. You're all preaching your own story. I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. Unbound and unharmed. Unbound and unharmed. See, if you've got bounds on you, if the devil has bound you up, see, you know what's going to get you unbound is your faith. Your faith. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You can't afford to hear every dumb critic that you got. Amen? You can't afford to get on the phone with Sally Sue and have Sally tell you for 30 minutes that your situation looks so bad and she don't know either how you're going to make it. You need to stop talking to Sally. You need to start talking to God. And then when you want to call somebody on the phone, you get somebody that's going to line their faith up and do what Matthew tells us, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'm going to be right up in the middle of them. See, God can't be up in the middle of somebody that's being doubtful. He wants to know, can I get two people on the planet to agree on something? Because a lot of times he can't. Why? Because us humans are hard-headed. And we like to be disagreeable. You're never honoring God more than when you agree with what he says about you. What does he say? That you're the apple of his eye. That you're his kid. That you're his beloved. That he gave his son for you. I see four men walking around in the fire, and they are unbound and they are unharmed. Whatever the devil has intended for you in this season of your life, God wants you to know, get that even if faith, because by the time that this is over, you are unbound and you are unharmed. Unbound and unharmed. I'm not telling you that you're not going to struggle, because baby, you're going to have some struggles in this life. Why? Because there are trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. You're going to have trials. You're going to do some suffering at times. But no storm is going to last forever in your life. God will not allow it. He will not allow it. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. See, he didn't start this situation acknowledging the living God, but by golly, when he saw four men walking up in that fire, he said, okay, something's going on with this God that they serve. Y'all move that stone. Hey, come out, boys. Servants of the Most High God, come out. I want to have another conversation with you today. Why? Because he didn't know how they got that done. He wanted to know. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the royal advisors crowded all around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. Here's another little thing about God. He cares about every little detail of your life. And I don't know who the baldest person is in here, but whoever's got the most hair on their head in this place, God knows every one of your hairs that you've got, and he has counted them today. And guess what? He knows how many hairs you lost. And the word says this right here, not a hair on their heads was singed. Not one. Not one. Not one. Their robes were not even scorched, and there was not even a smell of fire on them. Unbound and unharmed, not a hair on their head was scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. Look here, God loves you this morning. If you don't hear another word I say, I want you to know that God loves you. He cared about when you came in here and you sat down and you said, God, I've got so many problems this morning, I don't even know what to do. He cared about that when you came up in here. The best thing that could happen for you today is when you walk out that door, you've got that blessed assurance that, you know what, my life, there's some things in it that are scary to me, but God, help me have that even if faith. Lord, I know you're going to come through for me. God, you've never failed me. Lord, I'm going to do my best to get that faith where it needs to be, because God, you're faithful. God, what you did for them, you'll do for me. Why? Because, see, you have not changed. The same God that did this all those years ago, He will do that for you. He will do it for you. Not only will He can. He wants to. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants." You know, the Word of God said that He will give His angels charge to watch over you. You all have angels that have been assigned to you to watch over you. That's how important that you are to Him. Funny little story. This is how different Casey and I are when we grew up together. Casey was a golden child. And what I mean by that was this right here. She was just pretty perfect. She didn't do a whole lot wrong. That's why they had her first. They'd have had me first. That'd have been done. That'd have been a one and done. They wouldn't have tried that anymore. That all skipped when it came to me. But one night when Casey was really little, Dad used to tell the story. An angel came into her bedroom. She saw that angel. And I always thought, I must not be that good, because the angel didn't come in my room. But I'll tell you what did happen. When I was about 4 years old, they thought it would be a good idea to have us share a bedroom. That was a terrible idea because when they weren't looking, she used to beat me. Relentlessly. She was the best big sister, though. I'm really serious about that. She was great, but she did beat on me. If you ever wonder what happened to me, that's what it was. But anyhow, one day, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a demonic presence in that bedroom with me, and we shared a bedroom. And we had bunk beds. And I looked right at that thing, and my little four-year-old heart was just a-beating so fast. And I crawled down there, and I woke Casey up. "Casey, get up. There's a demon up there." I said, "How do I get it to leave?" She goes, "Kelly, get back on your bunk bed and you look at the demon and you say, 'In Jesus' name, you're leaving. In Jesus' name, you're leaving.'" My little four-year-old self, I used to be a bedwetter. So my sheets were plastic. And when I would get mad at Casey, we had them bunk beds that the top one was skinnier than the bottom one. And Cindy, I would just pee on there when I got mad at her. Thought, "I'm going to show you all the pee right on her bed." But I crawled back up there. I didn't pee the bed that night. It's a miracle. I was so scared. I crawled back up there, and I stood up, and I pointed my finger at that thing, and I said, "In Jesus' name, you leave. In Jesus' name, you leave." And I laid down and I went to bed. Now let me tell you something. There's a lot that can be said about that. See, there's times in your life you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to make a stand. You have to walk in that integrity. And God will give you the authority to point your finger at any demon in hell that wants to come up against you. And He will back you when you tell it to go. He gave you the authority and He gave you the dominion. Now you use it. Go forth and make disciples. See, we got to do what the Word of God says. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. And therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their house be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. No other God can save in this way. See, there's no other God that can save you the way that you need. Not the God of addiction, not the God of drugs, not the God of alcohol, not the God of greed, not the God of filth, not the God of any other thing. There's only one God that can save in this way. That's why the Word of God says that now whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they are going to be saved. Why? There is no other God that can save in this way. In this way. What kind of way? See, when the devil meant harm for your life, God came in and not only did he not let you get burned in the fire, but he walked with you in the fire. There is no other God that can save in that way. In that way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. True promotion only comes from God. True promotion only comes from God. The very people that this king was so mad at that he turned the heaters on 7 times hotter, by the end of the day, he had changed his mind again and promoted them. God will take your worst enemies and your critics, the people that wanted to talk bad about you, the people that called you names, the people that got on Facebook and talked bad about you. He'll use those people to promote you. Why? Because that's just the kind of God that we serve. God's not going to let anybody get away with you mistreating anybody or them mistreating you. That's why it's so important that we really watch how we treat other people. Because see, however we're treating them, that's coming back. It's coming back to us. Y'all turn with me now to Psalms chapter 91. If you want to get that food, you can. Now, how many of you like Facebook or get on Facebook or have Facebook? I do. I get on there. Sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. But this week, I put on there, at the very beginning, I think maybe it was on Monday, I put something on there, and I got a lot of comments, and it was basically, I think the kids and I were outside, and we were out there and about, and I put a post, and I'm trying to find it, here we go. And my dad has always been one of the top people that I've allowed to speak into my life because, you know what, you can't let everybody speak into your life. And let me tell you something, the people that will speak into your life and they're the people that God ordained to speak in your life, they're not going to always speak in such a way where you're going to like what they're saying. Can you take correction? That's an important quality in a person. Now, he wasn't correcting me on this day, but he has before. And he will again if he needs to. But he said this, "He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then he skipped down a line and he said, "Let the Holy Spirit lead you to the entrance of that place." Now I'm going to read that one more time so we can let that kind of sink into us. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, each one of us, to the entrance of that place. Because see, God's got safety for you. He's got everything that you need. Psalm 91. We're going to start at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, surely, He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. That's why it's so important for you to not sit there and wonder what's going on over here and what's going on over there. Because, honey, it doesn't matter what's going on beside you. He won't let it come to you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling, and even the Lord who is my refuge. Then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near you. Verse 11, for He will command His angels to watch over you, to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 14, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. God's got a rescue in your story. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Because they love me, I'm going to rescue them. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Verse 15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call on him. But he's going to answer you. Verse 15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. By the end of that day, they were being promoted. What is that all about? Honor. When you think that the worst of the worst has happened in your life, you stick in there and you stay with God because He's about to honor you. I'm going to say that one more time because, see, there's people, you feel like you're hanging on by a thread. You are, and that thread just so happens to be the very hem of His garment. Amen? That's on a t-shirt. If you're hanging on by a thread, let it be the thread on the hem of His garment. Amen? When you feel like that thread is all that you've got, you hang on to it because God's fixing to honor you. He's fixing to promote you. Why? It's that even if faith. Even if. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16, if you're dealing with something inside of your body, here's a promise. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to appeal to people in here this morning. If somewhere throughout this message you've said in your heart, God, help me to have more of that even if faith. God, right now I'm going through something, and in my mind and in my heart and maybe even in the situation, it seems so big. But God, you've pointed out to me very clearly today, all that it takes is that even if faith. God, help me to have it. I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, I believe God meets you right in that place. If you're in the fire this morning, He wants to walk around with you in there. He hasn't left you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person right now. If you're on Facebook Live, I'm going to ask you, if this message was for you, get off of your rump, get off of that couch, stand up and acknowledge the Word of God. Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you right now. You've searched every heart. God, you are showing up in the lives of your children. Lord God, right now, every place where there is doubt, I ask that you would replace that doubt with faith. Lord, the even if faith. In Jesus' name, Lord, I declare it over them right now. God, I ask that you would bless them. I ask that you would make your face to shine upon them right now. And God, I ask that you would give them peace. Not just any kind of peace, God, but the peace that passes all understanding. God, there's things that's happened. We don't understand them, but God, give us peace beyond those things. In Jesus' precious, holy name, amen. Now, there are some goodies. Right now, what I want to do